instructions to us can fall into two categories. One is the instructions which are to be followed in the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, that is, following according to rules and regulations, and the others are those instructions which pertain to the realm of spontaneous devotional service or Raganuga Bhakti. So when dealing with Srila Rupa Goswami's teachings, which will be the subject of today's morning lecture, we will hear instructions pertaining to Vaidhi Bhakti, and we will also hear something about the area of Raganuga Bhakti. But before starting, let us invoke auspiciousness by reciting the following mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Srila Rupa Goswami when they had meeting in Prayag to systematize the teachings of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and he personally took great care and attention to preach to Rupa Goswami those instructions which Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami, then were further elaborated upon in Rupa Goswami Prabhupada's writings. So, in starting with the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, we will naturally start with the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. This is parampara, to take the instructions of one's previous authority and present them. So here, let us now listen to the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I must definitely warn and encourage my audience. Warning means it is very early in the morning, we have all walked a lot, and naturally our bodies are tired. So be aware of sleep, who is lingering in your body and mind and waits to capture your attention. This will be a little bit more difficult to follow than the previous lecture, which was full of pastimes, of an interesting biography of Rupa Goswami's life, and so on and so forth. So please let us try our utmost to remain attentive, because as we have said, this Brajmanda Parikrama will be successful only if we learn to see the holy land of Braj through the eyes of our previous acharyas and through the eyes of the Shastra. What good can our eyes see? Only if they are helped by Srila Rupa Goswami, it will be possible for them to perceive something of the glories of Braj. So when Rupa Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Allahabad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a tour de joy, I could say, a tour de something through the philosophy. He first started with Sambandha Gyan, that means the instructions about the situation of the soul within the material world and its eternal relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said that the soul actually is very minute in size. The jiva, the conditioned soul, is the 10,000th part of the tip of a hair. Now these conditioned souls fall into different varieties of life. They are divided into those who are residing in the human species and those who are in the species of subhumans. In the human species, the souls are divided into those who are civilized and those who are not civilized. Now, according to the Vedic civilization, civilization really starts with what is called Sanskriti. Sanskriti is a process for purification. It is there is a purification of the body, of course, which is done by regular taking bath, and there is a civilization of the mind, and which is meant to purifying subjects to discuss with, to speak truthful words, to follow brahmacharya, the vow of celibacy, and so on and so forth. Well, that actually still pertains to the body, but there's also a brahmacharya in the mind. And other rules and regulations which can be found in all yoga systems and which are explained for the path of the Vaishnavas by Kapila Dev. So then there are sister purification of intelligence and so on. So a civilized human civilized being is only civilized if he follows Sanskriti. You all know, if you do not take a shower, your body will have an aggressive smell after some time. This is what happens also to the mind, to the intelligence. If you don't regularly follow Sanskriti, a process for purification, there will be contamination reigning supreme and governing your all activities. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are civilized human beings and also uncivilized human beings. Certainly, the Western species of human beings are highly uncivilized. So, amongst those civilized, there are those who are serious practitioners of the Vedic Dharma and those who are very superficial. The serious followers of spiritual cultures also fall into a different category. Most of them are interested in their own personal good. So if those who are civilized are not interested in outright materialistic pursuits.
Oh.
No, is this possible?
Head.
I like it. No, it goes. They, like a Greek, you know, hero with lorbeers, but is it. Oh, this is rather small. Hare Krishna. So now you have had a little entertainment. Please force your mind, which might be awakened by an easy subject, to go back into the dance. So please let us understand, most of the people who go to a spiritual path still suffer from ahankara, That means they remain self-centered. Real spiritual life begins really when you leave the domain of the false ego and enter into a life which is dominated by a higher interest, by the interest of God. So, therefore Mahaprabhu said that it is a rare person indeed who is progressive enough to ask into the ultimate goal of life. So, out of many, many, this is also explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, who are interested in the path of spiritual life, only very few are interested to actually follow the goals of and the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here really is the crucial difference between Hinduism and Sanatana Dharma, or any kind of religious path, and the path advocated by Mahaprabhu, which is ultimately Prema Bhakti. Krishna consciousness, or any spiritual path, only starts at that moment where the conditioned soul gives up his own interests, which ultimately a high point in the desire for moksha, or liberation, and comes to the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, then, Mahaprabhu wanted to describe a little bit more the path of pure devotion, and he focused on how this path is obtained. He did so by talking of the conditioned soul who wanders through the many, many brahmandas, brahmanda kuniji, many brahmandas or universes, when he is really sincere, when he is fortunate, bhagyavan, then he comes into contact with a pure devotee who implants within his heart the bhakti lata bij, the process of bhakti. See, we all are part and parcels of Krishna, and we have in minute quantity the spiritual qualities of Samvit and Hladini. That means we are all knowledge, knowing, and we are blissful. But in the conditioned state, are you all knowing? No. Are you very blissful? No. Many times, even on Braj Mandala, we spend so much thought on our feet, on our bodies. So, but when you meet a pure devotee in whose heart the Samvit and Kladini potency is fully present, then you will be infected. Once I heard a Vaishnava saying, pizza eating is infectious. When someone really has a nice pizza and eats it and enjoys, immediately you think, let me do the same. So, when you meet a pure devotee, yes, that is infectious, but not in the superficial sense of the analogy just given, but it is infectious because his Kladini and Samvit will flow into your heart, and there a wonderful transformation will take place. Your own spiritual qualities will begin to blossom. And this is what is really meant with the analogy of the Bhakti Lata Beach, which grows and grows, the seed of devotional service. Now I will go a little fast through this example because you all have heard it many times. The Bhakti Lata Beach, which is sown, grows it leaves the material universe and comes to rest at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just consider, while you are here in this material world, your the understanding which you have gotten, the devotional feeling which is understood with the, to be like a seed, grows in this becomes a plant. This mysterious plant comes into what we can say, what we can call, it penetrates the Brahma Jyoti and goes to Krishna. Isn't that wonderful? And there it will develop a fruit called the fruit of love of Godhead. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also pointed out to Rupa Goswami that whilst this mystical plant is growing, one must be extremely careful of weeds. Those who are gardeners know that weeds can choke a plant so that it cannot grow. And there are several plants which have been described. It is, first of all, the plant which has a behavior which is unacceptable to the process of devotional service. Then it, a very heavy weed which chokes the plant is pratishta. Who knows what this weed is? Yes. No, the weed is not to be a big man, but to be proud of your position if you are a big man. You can take responsibility in devotional service, and all of you should be heroes conquering the material modes. All of us should be in this viryavan, equipped with strength, and in this way be great. But when you become puffed up, then you lose everything. Those of you who have studied biology know that there are two kinds of snakes which look almost exactly the same. The one snake has rings on its body, blue, green, and yellow, I believe, and the other snake has blue, yellow, and green rings. Now, if you're not expert, you will mistake the harmless snake with the blue, yellow, and green stripes to be identical with the poisonous, dangerous snake which has blue, green, and yellow stripes. That's succession. So in the same way, a devotee may be very... there may be devotees who do wonderful, but if a devotee does wonderful, or any devotee, in fact, is a wonderful person, if he becomes if he becomes overgrown by the weed of pratishta, which means the undue thought to be falsely pride of one's achievement in devotional service, then he is been bitten by the dangerous snake. There's nothing wrong in doing devotional service in an outstanding way. Instead, Prabhupada always enthused us, do something wonderful. He said to his American disciples, what is the use of you being American if you do not do something wonderful in devotional service? He always wanted his disciples to become very intensive in their practice and in their seva. So that is harmless. But the moment one becomes proud, then what is harmless, like the harmless snake, turns into the most dangerous type, the cobra-like snake. So Mahaprabhu elaborated on this. There's also jiva hingsa, that means violence and enviousness towards other living entity. Pujinati, that means diplomatic behavior, and so on and so forth. That discussion we might have in another lecture when we will talk about anattas and how to overcome them. But just for this lecture, it is enough to understand that there are weeds. Pratishtha, that means to be arrogant and proud of your position. Fault finding, enviousness and violence towards other living entity, and let us not remember, and let us not forget, there is no sword which can cut wounds as deep as what? What?
Knowledge.
You could say like this, but it is the tongue. When you say something bad against someone, oh, this devotee is offense. You make it offense. That word, if it comes to the devotee, might hurt him very much. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, whenever he heard a criticism of a Vaishnava, he said, oh, no, this Vaishnava is after all engaged in devotional service. That was his only comment. So jiva hingsa, non-violence towards other living entity, means also do not speak bad about someone. So all these wonderful instructions which we have somewhat very condensed. There are many more instructions which would be very numerous coming into Rupa Goswami's instructions on Vaidhi Bhakti. So then Rupa Goswami, on the instruction of Mahaprabhu, wrote one textbook where he gave, where he exactly described the path of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada translated this textbook as, which is Upadeshamrita, the nectar of devotion, of instruction, in a very early career of his translation, early part of his translation work. In fact, after Prabhupada, when Prabhupada started to translate this very, very important book, there were photocopies coming all around the society where we read this. Prabhupada had announced this book, and he actually intended this book for mass book distribution. He wanted that this book is distributed all over the world, because this is important. It really describes in very easy language how you can become a pure devotee in this lifetime. So let us hear a little summary of the nectar of instruction. First of all, in the first text, Rupa Goswami describes about sense control. And he says, only he who can describe his control his senses can be a spiritual master. Now, in the second text, he describes exactly what is to be avoided in this process. Now, since it is morning time, and we want to incite our intelligence for creative hearing, I want to ask the learned audience, what has to be avoided when you practice devotional service? Purushottama Maharaj.
Yeah.
Yes.
Atyahara prayasya.
What? Yes. Atyahara prayasya prajalpaniya maga. Please not the Sanskrit, because most of them don't understand that.
Atyahara means the not collecting more than the necessary and accumulate wealth. Would collect for using Krishna consciousness.
So we will take many, everyone will have the chance. So first point of our Purushottama Maharaj has told us, and when you travel with him you can see he follows it also, not collecting more than required. Now, it also means not eating more than required. This is, why is this so? I mean, we could, let us only explain this a little bit deeper. When you eat more than necessary, what happens? You begin to sleep more than necessary. Now, if you have more than necessary, something very, very similar happens. You don't fall really asleep, but you fall asleep to the real world. Because someone who has more than necessary is just engaged in looking after it. Yesterday, we went into this, we made a little tour through this castle here. There is an old castle. And I mean, this is really impossible, this castle. If you look on it, it is just opposite to Hatyahara. I mean, please, if you, this time we have no time, this is a shocking example of Hatyahara, this whole castle. It has two swimming pools, which are much too big for persons. Then there is a room. Then there is a house for the queen, a palace for the queen. And just the lower part is just a room where you can sing. It has many rooms and there is an echo created. And then it has a pleasure, something for pleasure in the beginning, and in the top of the roof. There is like a bathing tank for the queen with different holes, you know, means thousands of holes through which different colors water sprinkles the body of the queen. One blue, then green, and so on. And then there is a walkway for the hastis, the elephant, that they can walk on the roof and do many unusual and unnecessary activities there. So I mean, if you walk... Now, I know we could have all your attention would come if we just talk about this. You would laugh, but this is not the intention. This was a shocking example of Adyahara, collecting more than necessary. So you can understand these poor souls in the body of the king or the queen. They're always sleeping to the reality of self-realization. They're just always engaged in these impossible activities. Now, of course, I must say, some of these kings were highly God-conscious, but if they were not, they were lost completely in the sense enjoyment. So, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than is required, that is not good for Krishna consciousness. What else is bad? Asatsanga. Yes, associating with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Prajalpa. That means talking nonsense. This, let us hear Prabhupada's explanation about this point. He said, that there are frogs who talk very erotically and romantically. They go in the swamp, they go brak, and with their forceful croaking, they hope to attract a very dynamic young frog lady. And that's why they are so loud. This is like their show. I'm very strong. If you come to me, we will go into the pleasure garden of frog sexuality. But together with the females who here interest. Very interested in the croaking, the snake is there and he goes to the most powerful croaker and swallows him. So that is what is happening when we do prajalpa. It's not that only the person with whom we are prajalpaing is listening. No, the snake of Maya is there, is listening, and if you continue doing prajalpa, Maya will cover your consciousness. So what else is bad? What is Niyamagraha? Don't know. I only know the Sanskrit.
Niyam is law, rule, and agraha is consist.
Yeah. This is very nice. Niyam means rule and agraha means to insist. Now Prabhupada translated this, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them. Like it is stated, there is a rule, a sannyasi shouldn't cross the ocean. Now if Srila Prabhupada would have followed that rule, we would not sit here in the Braj Mandal Parikrama, and there are rules that you should go early to bed. Now sometimes in preaching you cannot, if you do that, if in the preaching program you say, oh, it's 9 o'clock, let me follow that rule, there won't be any Krishna Katha for the fallen conditioned souls. So practicing the scripture rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. So then the other point which was not yet mentioned, but to make it faster, is being greedy for mundane achievements. Yes, we are trying to make great projects and we want to offer something wonderful for Krishna. But if we become greedy and attached in the sense that we forget Krishna in the process, that is bad. Now there are six processes which are very favorable. Who can tell us what is favorable for attaining success in devotional service?
Enthusiasm.
Yes. Taking prasadam, our Omkara Prabhu says, that is correct. It falls in the false principle, acting according to regulative principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering prasadam. Krishna. hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, there are also Pada Sevanam, worshipping the lotus feet. So if you take prasadam, that falls in that category. Now then, what else is favorable? Excuse me?
Association
with devotees.
Determination.
Yes, determination.
Patience.
Patience. confidence, wonderful. You should know, when you practice Krishna consciousness, you will go back home, back to God. Prabhupada wrote in the early days in every initiating letter, rest assured, if you just follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds, you will go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Yes, there is confidence. So, Ahankara Prabhu said, associating with devotees, that is, he has again phrased it a little different. Here it is said, giving up the association of non-devotees and positively following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles which have yes, I think everyone has told everything. Patient, was patience mentioned?
Yeah.
Yes. These are for complete success in devotional service. Now we will go a little faster through it. Then, in text 7, Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a very nice example about the most important part in devotional service. What do you all consider the most important principle of devotional service? According to the scriptures. Yes? Chanting Hare Krishna. Very nice, Prabhu. But Rupa Goswami, knowing that we are not always very attracted to the holy name, he gave a very nice example which helps us understand. The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. When you have jaundice, the medicine, which is sugar, tastes very sweet, but by continuing taking great very bitter. By continuing taking great amounts of sugar, you will taste the very sweet. In other words, the original of taste is restored. In a similar way, by chanting Hare Krishna, even if it is not according to one's taste in the very beginning, one will come to the state where one tastes it as very sweet, and one day Krishna will come behind you and he will reveal himself. I am like this. This, he will stand there. That means after chanting for some time and developing Shraddha and faith, and other stages of devotional service, sadhu sangha and anatta nivritti and nishtha, you will actually experience the rupa of Krishna. The form of Lord will be there, the gunas of Krishna, and you will experience also the Leela of Krishna. In this holy name, everything is there which you require for your progressive path. In Padyavali, Rupa Goswami has said, the holy name, taken up a verse by one author, and this says, the holy name is a food for those who traverse the path of Krishna consciousness. Like on our Parayatra, we have food. So, the spiritual food is And we all have two kinds of foods. One is we constantly chant Hare Krishna or speak about Krishna on Parikrama, and then is our buddies, Bhadri Prabhu is a very nice devotee whom we have, who takes care of the kitchen department. He serves our khichdi and sweets and whatever. So the holy name is not only food, it is also a pleasure garden, just like these queen and king there in Dik have this pleasure garden. For us, the pleasure garden is the Harinam. Then in text 8, Rupa Goswami speaks about something very confidential. And please, let us hear this. He speaks about the essence of all advice. And that is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, now the temple presidents who might hear this recording later might get angry, but this is here in Rupa Goswami's description. In this way one should reside in Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So here, Rupa Goswami goes from Vaidhi to Raganuga Bhakti. He first has explained to us the rules for Vaidhi Bhakti. And now he says, chant 24 hours a day and remember the Lord's pastimes. Live in Braj and under the guidance of a devotee, perform manasa seva. That means that service which is done in the full-grown spiritual identity of the soul. So this point is very nice enough thought to read the explanation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which Srila Prabhupada has mercifully included in his commentary. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasa, the stage of hearing. By constantly hearing, this is our stage, the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, one can attain to the stage of acceptance called Varana Dasa. In other words, if you constantly hear about Krishna, at one time you will constantly think about Krishna. You will accept these subjects as the most important reality in your life. You will think, what is Krishna doing now? Let us see, it's 6:15. Now Krishna goes and milks the cows. That he does before he goes and takes his breakfast. He goes, milks the cows, and afterwards he takes breakfast with his beloved friends. That will become your reality. What is Krishna? This is what, hey Radhe, Braja Devike. The Goswami said, where are you, Radha? Hey Radhe, Braja Devike. What are they doing now? That is the reality. That you want to know. You accept that as most important. Varanadash. Also another important accept, another explanation for Varanadash is you accept your spiritual identity. When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavastha, the stage of remembering. recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of Krishna Smarana. So you are also, such a devotee is always absorbed. The example is given of Srila Raghunath. Well, there's Rupa Goswami. Let me talk about Rupa Goswami. Is an example for Rupa Goswami. Just now it doesn't come to mind, but there are many. So when this remembrance, where you always think of Krishna, where you're always in the trance of ecstatic Krishna conscious presentation, becomes more concentrated, it is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smarana das, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly, clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called sampati das, the perfection of life. So in this way, Srila Rupa Goswami explains many things and guides us through his wonderful teachings back home, back to Godhead. His works are fully realized works, and we can have no doubt that everything he writes is very nice and proper. And when we follow that, we will become Krishna conscious. In fact,
I can take Hare Krishna. Here it is. So Rupa Goswami, please give me that. Rupa Goswami compared in his literature.
He compared in his literature the braids or hair of Srimati Radharani with snakes. And when Sanatan Goswami read it, he thought that's a wrong or not befitting analogy. What has Lali, that means Srimati Radharani, or Srimati Sundari or Shamala, what does she has to do with snakes? So Rupa Goswami said, well, if you think so, you are my Shiksha Guru, you please give me the right instruction. I'm very sorry to have made this mistake. Please give me the right analogy. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking how to edit Rupa Goswami. He was pacing back and forth, and the right analogy didn't come to his mind. He thought of the ocean at night, but then he thought that's not proper. So when he was walking, it was near Radhakund, he saw in the distance a few little girls, there was one girl who sat on a swing. These girls were swinging that girl, and that girl looked very, very beautiful. So all of a sudden, behind this girl on the swing, a snake, a cobra snake, appeared. And the little girl didn't see it. So the snake went up and up, you know, like a snow cobra snake, as if she would like to bite the little girl. And then Sanatan became furious. Tears ran down his eyes. He said, Lali! Lali! Sarpa! The snake! So then the little, all the girls looked at him, and they just giggled and laughed, hee 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 hee, hee hee hee. And then the vision disappeared, and nothing was there. So Sanatana Goswami understood that he had just seen Srimati, Srimati Radharani, swinging on a swung, on a swing. And Srimati Radharani, to show him that the riding of Rupa Goswami was on the realized platform of, from the platform of Darshan, he realized that, and he understood, yes, Rupa Goswami's writing is inspired by Srimati Radharani herself. It is completely correct. The braids of Srimati Radharani are like snakes. So we will end this morning's presentation on some of the philosophical points of Rupa Goswami by bringing to your attention the six symptoms of surrender which Rupa Goswami has said. First of all, accept things favorable to the execution of devotional service. That's if we want to surrender. Then we have to reject things which are unfavorable for the execution of devotional service. Then believe firmly in the Lord's protection, for feel exclusively dependent on the Lord's mercy. 5. Have no interest separate from the interest of the Lord. And 6. To always feel oneself meek and humble. So you can see, by giving us such wonderful instructions, Rupa Goswami is guiding us. Now we only should pray to Rupa Goswami that we will be able to follow these instructions. He himself has written a nice verse where he sincerely prays to Krishna that his mind will be always attracted to following the Krishna Katha, the instructions which are there in Krishna Katha. He says, although the very sweet nectar stream of your transcendental pastimes, that means Krishna, swiftly flows through the Puranas, the calf of my mind has now entered a ditch to drink the poison of material sense happiness. See, our mind has become attracted to the poison instead to the nectar. O Lord of the calves, please quickly curb this calf of the mind with your stick of mercy. So, we have come to the end of our presentation. It was the last verse. You just come to the end. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki jai, Braj Mandal Parikrama ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol.